Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was here.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning, back again at another time, telling you that the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm your host, Dr. Jerry Robinson, and I'm glad to be back with you on another segment of Blog Talk Radio. This morning we're going to be talking about, is healing still for today? We're going to talk about from the particular passage of Scripture, St. John 5, 1, verse 9, and also continuing then to 14, 16. Now, today is what I believe a relevant question in our society. Do people really believe that healing is for today, or is it still, is it from yesterday, as it was with other things, as they say, that healing went out with the early church or it went out with the apostles? Do people still believe that healing is for now? Well, I mean, there are many episodes in the Scripture that tells us, in the Holy Bible, that tell us that there were healings in the, quote-unquote, as we call it, the Old Testament, as well as the New. And for this particular segment, we're going to talk about an instance when there was an encounter between Christ, Jesus, our Messiah, and also a man who was healed from his birth. And today we're going to talk from this passage of Scripture, as I shared earlier, St. John chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 1. And it reads, and I'm reading out of the King James Version, and it will read as follows. And after there was a feast of the Jews, chapter 5, verse 1, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he or either she had. A certain man was there, verse 5, which had an infirmity 38 years he had an infirmity. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And we're going to stop right there. Well, let's read just a little bit more. So the impotent man was answered him and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, here in this particular episode of the scriptures, we come into a scenario and a story where Jesus is talking to a man in the place of there called healing, or either it says in the scriptures, it was in the market of a pool. Now, in the scriptures, that is described in the Hebrew word as a gate or the place where people went in to enter. And that market of a pool, which also in the Hebrew tongue was called Bethesda, having five porches. Now, the scripture said that it was the sheep market, which is actually where it was a great gate, a wide open gate where people were able to go in masses and multitudes. And so this man entered into the gate. And one thing we can say about him is that he did enter into the right gate that day because of the fact that he entered into the marketplace. And this is where Jesus basically hang out during his ministry. He was not always in the synagogue. He was not always, as we would say, ministering out of the pulpit as of such. But he was always found in the marketplace, the place where the people were, the place where the people were hurting, and the place where people needed help. So this is where we find him, this scenario. Jesus is found now, the Messiah, walking into the marketplace, a place called Bethesda, which is actually in the Hebrew tongue pronounced that way, meaning a house of mercy. Now, let's talk about that. He's in the house of mercy. Now, all of a sudden, now he's dealing with a person. We know that there was a custom during that particular time, that at a certain time of the year, the angels of the Lord would come down and trouble the water so that the people could have a healing, a supernatural healing, that without them coming down, without the person getting into the water, if you didn't get into the water at a particular time, then you were considered left behind and you would have to wait another year to receive your manifestation of a miracle or healing in your life. But here we find this impotent guy. Impotent. What do you mean impotent? He was sick. People without strength. He didn't have any per se strength because the scripture says that when Jesus talked to him, he was very, very weak and acting out even in this condition. He said he had been there 38 long years, and that's a long time to be in a condition. It's a long time to be in an infirmity. And furthermore, we note that he had to have somebody to carry him there every time there was a troubling of the water. Basically, he probably had to have somebody to carry him around most of the time in order for him to get around, to be mobile in that particular day and time, because in that day and time, they didn't have what we call wheelchairs or other devices that we would use in this day to be mobile, or either a scooter, as we call it. None of those things did he have in that day. So he had to have some. He had to depend on somebody to carry him everywhere he went and everything that he was able to do. Well, he had an infirmity. He had a weakness. He was impotent, and that infirmity was his weakness. He had a weakness in his body. So Jesus came to him and found him in that place after the troubling of the water. And isn't it amazing sometimes how we become accustomed to doing things in our own mindset, in our own way, and we feel that that is the only way that you and I are able to in a position to get something done in our lives. But there are many other facets of avenues that we can use to become better or good at what we do. This man had become traditional. After 38 years, he felt that the only way that he could be healed was by the troubling of the water. I'm pretty sure that he had heard about Jesus and his escapade and all of the things that were happening around that area in Jerusalem during that particular time, because there were many healings going on and many people were being touched by the hand of the Messiah. So I'm pretty sure he had heard about him. So here we find the Messiah himself encountering this guy at a particular time at the troubling of the water of the pool and at the house of mercy in the great gate. So here we go. Here we find Jesus coming to him, saying to him. He asked this question. He saw him and knew that he had been there a long time. And he said, how long was the time in this case? Asked him where he'd been. And he said, I've been here 38 long years. 38 years. Jesus, looking at him, said to him, rise up. He said, first he says, will thou be made whole? Thou be made whole. Let's talk about this for a minute. Wilt, let's define it. It's a definition basically dealing with your will, my will, and intellect. It is called the soulish part of the soulish realm of a man or either a woman. Now, let's define the soul. The soul is where we find the will. In the soul, we have three compartments. The first compartment is our intellect, the seat of what we think, our emotions, the seat of what we feel, and our volition, the seat of the things we do. Now, watch this. And actually, our emotions also are what we say. So let's talk about this. Our intellect is what we think, our emotions is what we say, and our volition, which is the intricate part of our soul, is our will of what we do. So actually, in the soulless realm, three compartments activated work this way. We think, we say, and we do. Okay? We think, we say, and we do. So that is the soulless part of a man. Now, we know that the Lord ultimately saved us, but he didn't just save our soul. I don't want to talk about that this week. I don't want to talk about that today, but we know that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. He's saved and reborn again, our spirit. And our souls, because they are intact with our spirit, became a part of that transformation. But that's another story. We'll talk about that another time. Okay, I know you've been told most of your life and all your life that your soul is what is being saved. It is true to an extent, but it's not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is that your spirit, man, has been changed because you were born spirit, not soul. But anyway, that's another story. You get that, we'll talk about that another day. Listen, he said, wilt thou? In other words, in the soulless realm of that man, he said, wilt thou be, wilt thou? In other words, you are in control of this, Jesus was saying. Wilt thou be made whole? Made, what does that mean? It is a twofold meaning. It means to be forced or to be created. You can have it either way. You can be forced to do something, or you can be made also as an act of creation. And here's the Elohim God, the Word of God himself, talking to this man. He's asking him a question, the man who made the heavens and the earth, the creator of the ends of the earth. We're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about Yeshua. We're talking about Jesus the Christ. Asking him, will thou, not I will make you whole, he said, but wilt thou be made whole? It's all according to you and me, whether or not we desire to be whole. We have to will to be something. Jesus is not going against your will. He's not going against my will. It is imperative that you and I understand that it is not the will of God that any should perish, but it is also not the will of God to go against your own volition or your own will. He will not force you. He will not fight you. And, you know, he will not do anything that will constitute force against you as your own will is involved. Notice Jesus is a gentleman. He asked him, will thou? He says, now look, I'm not going to intrude on you today. But if you want to be made whole, hallelujah, I will make you whole. Isn't that something? Jesus said, if you really desire it, if you really want it, and I'm some of you out there today, you need a healing, but you think that it's not the Lord's will. He said, no, not only is it my will, but it's also according to your will, whether or not you become healed. And that's very important in this day and time. It is very important for you and me to know that it is the will of God, not only number one, but also number two, to be healed, and it is also involving our own will, whether or not we desire that to happen to us. So now I'm going to straighten out something today in the lives of many people. a lot of people are grabbing and say, you know, it's the Lord's will that I'm sick like this. And the reason why I'm sick like this is because the Lord is humbling me to hear, to get me to do his will. No, honey, I want to correct you today. Why would he heal you if it was his will for you to be healed? It would be a contradiction to what he was doing, what he's doing. He's not the one that put that affliction on you. He's not the one that put that sickness on you. It's the devil. So he comes to, as John 10:10 says, for it is the thief that cometh not to but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And abundant life is 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That means that the will of God for you and me is to be healed. It's the will of God for you and me is to prosper. That's the will of God. And then he never will go against your will. If you don't want to be healed, he's not going to force you. He's not going to force me. He's only going to give us, as he is always a gentleman, the opportunity to receive our healing or to receive our help from him. And that's the way he operates in the earth. All right, now we got that straight. It is the will of God for you to be healed. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. It is the will of God for you and I to be healed. Okay, so with that understanding, let's move on to the next thought. In that we recognize now the will of God to be healed, he said, will thou be made? He said, now, it's according to how you feel, it's according to your will about it, your volition. Made, will you be made, in other words, will you allow me to create a new person, a new body for you in order for you to be healed? Now, it's predicated on this guy now. It's all hanging in the balance. It's all over in his ball. The ball, as we would say, the cliche, is in his court. And now he has to make a decision about whether or not he's going to be healed. Well, what does whole mean? Whole means well, have sound health. In other words, God, Jesus is saying, are you willing to have complete wellness and sound health? Now, we're living in a day and time now where we're consistently having products out about wellness. Now, let me say something. If that was not the, if it was not the will of God for you to be healed, then why would we have all the healings in the Bible and scriptures, of course? And also, why would we also be having wellness programs and things centered around healing? Drugs that we take, mostly vitamins and sedatives, all these things that we take them in our intake to our bodies so that we can be healed or whole or well or complete or have sound health and live a better life. That's the purpose of why we basically take drugs, or either we take vitamins or we take supplemented things that help us to aid us in making sure that our body receives the right vitality that's necessary to make it function properly. Listen, Jesus is questioning this guy now. He says, will you be well? Will you be made sound in health? And this guy is impotent. He has no way of dealing with himself. He's been in this way for 38 years. And he feels like, well, you know what? Now, if I really get healed, I just missed my shot. He said, I just missed my opportunity. My opportunity was to get in that water. Every time I see people get in and come out, they're healed and delivered. I missed my opportunity. I was not able to step into that water. That's what he was saying. And now, because I've missed that opportunity, now woe is me. And here Jesus is approaching him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah of the kings of the ends of the earth, who he created this body, created your body, created my body. He's questioning this guy about being made whole. And I'm pretty sure it's a hard task for him because he's having a real problem here. He felt like that his only opportunity was to get in that water. And sometimes we feel like our only opportunity is this certain drug. Our only opportunity is this certain surgery. Our only opportunity is to do it this certain way. If it doesn't happen that way, or if we don't get into that particular vein, then we miss the opportunity, and we won't have an opportunity to be healed or delivered. And this is how he felt. Have you ever been that way? 38 years he is. He's in this way 38 years. So he feels like there is no help for him other than what he has already encountered. It's kind of like the great gate in the pool of the marketplace was the hospital. And he felt like, well, if I don't get any help in the hospital, I'm surely not going to get any help anywhere else. And that was what he was thinking. But I'm so glad today that Jesus came to him and he addressed his situation and said, look, man, I have another avenue of your healing. And if you are willing, I can do this for you. Can I tell you something today? There are a lot of you that are willing. You don't know that there are other ways outside of the hospital, outside of drugs, outside of other things. But I stopped by to tell you today that Jesus is the answer. He is the great physician. He's not just a physician. He is the great physician. When the doctors have given you up, when the doctors say there's no hope, when the physicians say that there's no way you can be healed, there's no way you can be delivered, Jesus said, no, you don't have to wait till you get to the hospital, and you don't have to wait for the troubling of the water. You don't have to wait for the needle. You don't have to wait for the drug. You don't have to wait for the anesthesia. You don't have to wait for being hooked up to some IV. You don't have to wait. You can be delivered now, right here, right where I stand, Jesus speaking to this guy. All right, so now we recognize that now this guy is in a position to make a decision. And let's deal with his excuses. First he says, some people love being sick, you know. I just want to say that. First he says, Jesus said, will I be made whole? He said, well, look, Lord, will I be made whole? He says, look, Lord, I'm at the edge of this water, and nobody, every time I get ready to get in, somebody beats me in, so many words. Somebody stepped in before me. So let's talk about that, you know. And he's an impotent guy. And impotent, watch this now. Impotent meets omnipotent. All weakness meets all power. Isn't that amazing? He's impotent. And he's caught in the spirit of impotence. All weakness meets all power. Isn't that amazing? Friend, you and I are weak sometimes. And we are at our edge. We're at the end of all we can do. We've done everything we can do. We've gone to every doctor. We've tried every pill. We've tried every prescription. We've tried every antidote. We've tried everything that we felt that would help us out of our situation in our bodies, and it seems like nothing was there to help us. But I stopped by today to tell you that your impotence, your weakness, is just right for God's power. Whether things are impossible with men, they are possible with God. I can tell you that they're possible with the Messiah. And where you are weak, the scripture says he is strong. And he said, let the weak say I'm strong. But let's talk about that today. You are now weak. You're in your body. You've been in your situation a long time, and you just can't seem to get out of it. But I got good gospel news for you today, friend. Hallelujah. Yes, I do. You are just a candidate for a miracle. You're just a candidate for a blessing. You're just a candidate. Hallelujah. You're just a candidate. One step away from being blessed. That's you today. Yes, look, by the way, if I got in to listen today, if you want to come in, you want to call in, you got a request, call us in at 323-580-5712. Again, that number is 323-580-5712. All right, listen. Here you go. He's now making excuses. He says, some people want to be sick. They use this as an escape to get attention. And I'm pretty sure he was tired of getting attention after 38 years. You know, and some people are always blaming others for not being well. You know, if those guys hadn't beat me in, or if Sally Sue or Jimmy John had not beat us, got in before me, I would be healed today. Well, it seems like it was a match contest to me. Seems like it was a lottery if you didn't get in. And I know that there's not such thing as that. They didn't have a lottery back then, but the way it was looking like it was a gamble for them to get healed. If they didn't get in first, you just didn't get healed at all. You had to wait a whole another year for the trouble and another water. So here it is. This guy, he's having problems here. He's stuck in his 38 years of infirmity. He's stuck in his 38 years of weakness. Now he's making excuses saying, I'll never get healed. You know, everybody else can be healed except me. This is his attitude. This is the attitude that he's taking. And this is the attitude that he's coming to at this particular time. So now we find this guy very, very upset about his situation. So the word is given to him now. Jesus said, you know what? In order for you now to receive what I'm going to do for you, this is what I'm going to do. And the word is given. He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now listen, all you need today, and all I need, is one word from the Lord that will change our circumstances totally, completely, without a shadow of a doubt. One word from him, one word from the Messiah today, speaking into your life, will change you, hallelujah, forever. When he said rise, that was it right there. He didn't have to say take up your bed and walk. When he said rise, that was that man's word. That one word alone was the word that everything else hinged on. He said rise, take up thy bed and walk. One word from God is a healing power for you. He could have said healed. He could have said delivered. He could have said any one word, and it would have taken place right then and there. And you know what? The same Messiah that stood there on that at that pool that day, the same Messiah that stood at that particular place called the marketplace or the sheep place, the sheep market by the pool, that great gate in the area of Bethesda, which is called the House of Mercy. The House of Mercy could be that hospital. Listen, that one word that he spoke that day was the deliverance for that man. And I want to tell you today that he can still speak that one word into your life, into your situation, into your circumstances. You don't have to live with that cancer. You don't have to live with that tumor. You don't have to live with that ailment. You don't have to live with that arthritis. You don't have to live with that disease that's in your body that seems to be incurable. You don't have to live with that thing that you've been told it cannot be delivered from. You don't have to live with that today. I stopped by to tell you good gospel news that Jesus told this man at the gate called Beautiful, at the place of Bethesda, the House of Mercy, hallelujah, you can be delivered. You don't have to wait on the angels. You don't have to wait on the troubling of the water. You don't have to wait on anything in the earth. If the doctors have said it's over, even if they haven't, I stopped by to tell you that the great physician says you can be delivered. So he says, why did Jesus ask him to take up his bed and walk? As proof of his complete recovery, that he could not only walk, but carry his own couch, or carry his own bed. That was the reason why he told him to rise, take up that bed and walk. First of all, it was going to be evident to everybody that was looking on that he was delivered, even to his own self. And furthermore, that because of his recovery and because of his deliverance, you know what? Now you're able to take your own bed and walk out of here without, hallelujah, any problems. Listen at this. It would be like a man going to the hospital and the doctors are telling him that it's impossible for him to live or impossible for him to be healed. And all of a sudden, he hears the Lord's voice tell him to rise and take up his bed and walk. Now, I'm not telling him, I don't think you can take up one of those beds they got in the hospital today. Back in those days, the beds were not exactly as large as they are now. But also, the beds were also cots. But the bottom line is that this man was told to take up his bed. In other words, don't get in that bed and don't stay in that condition any longer. You're delivered from it. Listen to this. And it was as a mark of identity. Listen, to prove that he was the very man who had lain so long helpless at the pool for 38 years. It was also to show everybody that, yeah, this is the guy that has been here for 38 years. And if it happened for him after 38 years, surely it can happen for you after 2 days, after a week, after a month, after a year. But how long it's been, it does not matter the time of your condition. You can be delivered and made whole, and you can have recovery as this man did as well. It was also as a test of his faith in Christ and his thankfulness to him. Listen to this. Trusting him, the man did exactly what he was commanded. This guy said, you know what? I'm going to do exactly what Jesus said. And you know what? Sometimes our healing is hinged on what instructions we receive from some spiritual guy or some spiritual woman who's given us an instruction concerning what Jesus has said. Now, I know that Jesus is not going to. Now, he will come literally and talk to you in the earth. He is privy to do that. But now he uses vessels. He uses men. He uses women. This is what he told his disciples. He said, in the last, he said, go and heal the sick and cast out devils and lay hands on them. And he said, these signs shall follow them to believe in my name. In my name, he said, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall speak with new tongues. Now, I know that some of you are having problems with that, what I just said, speak with new tongues. I don't want to talk about that today. But we do want to talk about, he said, cast out devils. Well, some people don't believe that. If you don't believe that and you don't believe any of these things, then this broadcast and this test is not for you. But now, if you want to become a believer, you have the privilege and the opportunity to be born again, and then you can enter into the kingdom of heaven and understand what we're talking about. Otherwise, you do not. The part that we want to talk about today is the laying on of hands, healing the sick. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So here's the deal. The deal is that you don't have to wait. You can have your own, you can do what has actually been told, just like this guy did. Jesus didn't even lay hands on him. He spoke the word over him and said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Wow. He spoke the word over him because he is the word. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said the word, he said the flesh profited nothing. He said, but in other words, my way of doing things is nothing. He said, but the words I speak unto you, he said, but it's the spirit that quickeneth. It's the spirit that makes alive. He said, and the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. And this is John chapter 4. 6 himself. Now, if Jesus is speaking the truth, as he said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father except by him. That means that he is your way out. He is your solution. He is my solution to any problems that we're faced that seemingly are impossible to us, are possible with God, are possible in the kingdom, possible, a benefit to you and me as a believer. Now listen, this man, the scripture tells us, immediately, right then and there, received his healing. Now for some people it takes a while, but it's according to your faith and it's according to my faith. How we receive what is taking place in our surroundings. And a lot of times we've encountered Jesus and we didn't know that we were encountering him, possibly through some other individual, through a believer, through a born-again person. And Jesus was using that individual to speak to us on the premise of our life. And so many times, hallelujah, we've come into a place, even with salvation, that somebody stops and says something to us we've never seen before, either somebody that we know begins to talk to us about our deliverance and talk to us about our healing and talk to us about salvation, and we eat them off, or we say to them, some other time, or I don't really believe in that, or I don't know this Jesus thing, or I don't know about this healing stuff, or I don't know about this salvation thing. All these things we say, actually these are the encounters that Christ has with us through other people. Even if I'm talking to you today, you're having an encounter with Christ, because Jesus is loving you through me right as we speak. He's loving you through me now. He's speaking to you through me now. I'm being used as his vessel. I'm being used as his oracle today, talking to you on this podcast, telling you that Jesus is the same yesterday, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4, verse 12, yesterday and today and forevermore, and he changes not. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, marrow and joints, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I hear you. I feel you today. You say, but I don't know. I don't know about this. I've had this thing forever, it seems like, and it's hard for me to be delivered. I've been a paraplegic for all my life, and they told me that I'd never be healed. I've had polio. I've had diabetes. I've had TB. I've just messed up. My arm will never straighten out. My whole countenance, my whole body will never be straight. I stop by to tell you good gospel news today. Jesus is in the miracle business, and he has the power to heal you and to make you whole. Well, after the man was healed, there was a great controversy that arose. It was on the Sabbath. The Sabbath day now. The day that nobody did anything. Here, Jesus is dealing with a man on a Jewish custom day called the Sabbath. And these guys were very strict about it. As a matter of fact, even to this day, most of the Hebrews who practice the Sabbath day, most of those the Jewish country or the Jewish people, and we will call them Jewish, I'll say Hebrews, but the Messianic people, the people who believe in the Messiah, the Israelites, the ones that are in Israel to this day, who practice the keeping of the Sabbath. They only go so far, they only do so much, and even some of them, they won't even cut their lights out. They have a light mechanism, a switch. They cut their own lights out because they feel that they will not do anything physical on that day. If they do it, they feel like they're breaking the law. So now here it is, Jesus is dealing with a man who's sick on the Sabbath day. And this has caused great controversy. And so now we're really having issues. And these guys are just really upset that this man was healed on the Sabbath. Now, actually, there were 7 healings on the Sabbath that Jesus did to show them that the Sabbath was not them. He broke all kind of rules during that day. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what your problem is, what your situation is, it seems incurable. And some doctors say, well, you know, you can't get healed with this drug, and you can't be healed on this day, and you can't be delivered here, and you can't be delivered there. And people may tell you that. But I want to tell you today that Jesus will go across boundaries and break rules concerning your life to get you delivered and to get you healed, if that's what it takes, if that's what you desire. Ha! Amen to that. 7 healings on the Sabbath. Listen, one was that impotent man. Second was at Jerusalem, which is John 5:1-9. The next one was the man born blind, John 9:1-4. The demoniac in Capernaum at Mark 1:21-27. The mother-in-law of Peter, Mark chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 31. So that's 4 healings right there on the Sabbath day. Number 5, the man with the withered hand. Mark chapter 3, verse 1-6. The woman bowed down or bowed over, bowed together. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 and 17. And verses 10-16, we key in on these verses. And actually, let's read that. Verses 10 of this particular chapter through 16. Let's start it. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Look, man, I've been down here for 38 years, and you're going to tell me it's not lawful for me to carry my bed? And I can hear him saying, the hand. Look, take the hand. I'm healed. I'm delivered. If it had been one of those sisters, she would have given him the hand. But anyway, praise the Lord, me being African American as a culture, that's a gesture in our culture. But listen at this. He says to him, the Jewish guy, the Hebrews, the religionists of that day, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Dude, wait a minute. First of all, I'm healed. Can't you see? I used to be down there for 38 years, and now I'm delivered. Look, I'm going to carry my bed on the Sabbath and every other day to show everybody what has happened to me. I've received a miracle. And you know, when you get saved, some people say, well, don't go around. You have to tell everybody. That's what the devil said. Look, when you get healed from a disease, you are going to shout it on the housetop because this involves your life and your livelihood. And It was also dealing with the value of life. You know, value of life. Praise God. They said you shouldn't be carrying your bed on the Sabbath. Verse 10. Verse 11. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus is breaking all boundaries and destroying all traditions. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Now check this out. Actually, he moved from the multitude. He got out of the presence of the people. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Look, this guy went immediately and began to worship. He didn't wait to go and say, well, you know, thank you, Jesus, what about that? He went straight to the temple and began to worship, thanking God for his deliverance, thanking God for his healing. Now he's really excited. He's going back to church. You know, at first he had stopped. Maybe he was not a churchgoer. He couldn't probably because here's the deal. He was impotent. He was after 38 years. He couldn't move around. And I'm pretty sure nobody wanted to carry him to church every Sabbath. But oh, when he got delivered, he said, now I'm here, you are, and I'm worshiping and I'm praising the God of our salvation, the Majority, Yahweh, the Messiah, his son who healed me, and I'm glad about it. I'm in the temple worshiping. Isn't that a good deal? Okay. He tells him, and Jesus says to him, sin no more, let the worst thing come upon you. And this guy is very excited now. He's very, very excited. So now in the 15th verse we find, then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Oh, now here comes the ruckus. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered, saying them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. These guys are upsetting him. Therefore the Jews sought that the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but now he's saying that God is his Father, making himself equal with God. Now listen, you heard me talk on that on some podcasts a while back, that we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We make that by 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he who knew no sin, for he who knew no sin was made to be, who he became or was made sin for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. So you have nothing to do with righteousness, you and I all together. It was given to us as a gift by the Christ, the Messiah. And so in righteousness, you have become equal. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Why did I say that? Here we go again with another controversy. Look, go back and get the blog. You'll hear about it. It's equality. It's being fair. I didn't say that we were better or we were higher than God, but he made us equal because we're his sons and his daughters. Is your son equal? Is your daughter equal with you? They're byproducts of your body. They're byproducts of your life. They're your seed. So are they equal with you? Would it also not be fair for you and me, which is righteousness and justified and justification, that we be equal with God because we're his sons and his daughters? Check it out. How about that? Check it out. Go back and check out the blog. Go back and check out Righteousness and Kingdom Living, and you'll hear what God has to say about you and me as believers in righteousness. Anyway, so now they're upset at him because he said, you're equal with God. Well, he was because he was a son of God. And so you and I, we are sons and daughters of God. Listen at this. They are upset. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Listen to what these guys are saying. Jesus is talking to him now. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as the Father, even as they honor the Father. And he that honors not the Son, honors not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he's rapping to them now. Can I tell you something? He's rapping to them. He's talking to them now. He's really sharing with them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And, listen, he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus goes on with the scenario. He talks to them. He gives them a whole half of a chapter about his authority, about the deliverance of the man, the reason why he was delivered, and all of these things. And the last thing I want to talk to you about, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and the now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Listen. This guy heard the voice of God. He listened to what the Lord said. You read the rest of the chapter all the way down from verse, well, let's stop at verse 26 here. Verse 26. I think that's where we want to stop in line. I really was supposed to stop at verse 14, 16, but, you know, verse 26 says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear the voice, his voice, and listen to this, and shall come forth, that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Listen, Jesus is now telling about eternal life. He's dealing with this guy about eternal life. And now the Jews are offended because, first of all, he said he heals this man on the Sabbath. Second of all, the man is carrying his bed. He's breaking the law. And thirdly, Jesus is the one who told him. And now they are confronting him about it. And Jesus is telling them that the only way he can do anything is that God tells him, or the Father, Yahweh, tells him what to do. And all of a sudden now they are really offended because they said, we know who you are. You're Joseph's son. You live down the street, over on the other side, down there in Judea. And all of a sudden, you're telling us, I mean, in Judah, you're telling us that you are the Son of God? In other words, you've got to be kidding. And so the Bible says they sought to kill him. They sought to slay him. They sought to destroy him. And they sought to put him away, annihilate him, abolish. They sought to wipe him out. But the Bible said, he began to preach to them. And he preached the infallible, uncompromised word of the living God. But verse 10, we focus on these verses. Through omniscience, all-knowing, a word of knowledge, this man received his pardon. He received the word of God, received his deliverance. He received power and a pardon. He received the power of God to get healed, and the pardon of his sins to be remitted. And Jesus said, go thy way and sin no more. So that means that it was a sin act that caused him to be in the situation that he was in. This is what Jesus said in that verse, in verse chapter 2:14. We got a minute and about a few seconds left, but I just want to say, you go back and read the text. He said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So evidently he was not eating right. He was not doing right. He was doing something. Something happened to his body was in that condition. And Jesus said, whatever you were doing, straighten it out. I've straightened it out for you. Don't sin anymore. Don't transgress anymore. Don't do anything else that will cause you to go back into the same thing. Oh, well, that's the worst thing come upon you. As we close today, with 1 minute left, I want to say this. Live and be pure. Let the worst thing come upon you. I want to say to you today, I want you to be healed. Whatever you're dealing with, I command you and I command your ailment. Put your hand on whatever you're dealing with. I command you in the name of Jesus to be loosed from your infirmity. Be healed, be whole in Jesus' name. And I rebuke that thing and tell it to never come back again in your life. And we command you to be delivered In Jesus' name. God bless you. Be right back with you next week.
Come on, make some noise out there.
Make some noise. You're healed, you're delivered.
I was young.